Hello and welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. This is me, Robert Pratton, and you can find me online as Rob Pratton on Twitter. And with me today, I've got two very interesting guests who have done an exciting project in Senegal. It's an experience around sort of an edutainment soap series, and I'll let them introduce themselves and explain more about that. So, Rosa and Joel, hello.
Hi.
Hi. So, guys, please give us a brief introduction and tell us how you got this gig in Senegal.
Okay. I'm Joel Vecht, and I work together with Rosa Frapsnap. And, how we got the project. 2 years ago, we graduated from a course called Interactive Performance Design. And we had a teacher there who was actually the head of the program, the bachelor's. And he heard us speak about our internship at Spector Storytelling in the Netherlands. And we made a transmedia experience for a drama series, a Dutch drama series, that was about a fictional fraternity. And basically we extended this this story world mostly onto Facebook through a Facebook page and a Facebook app where you could actually join this fictional fraternity. And then we organized a few events like drinks and nights out and a
you
party.
You actually did a podcast with the makers of this anyways.
Yes, that's true. That's right. Yeah. We're familiar with that one. Yeah. And okay. Spector as well.
Yeah. So this teacher, basically he knew that we worked on this project. And his wife was the founder, or one of the founders, of a studio in the Netherlands called Butterfly Works, who do a lot of educational programs in developing countries. So in Africa, in Latin America, I guess, as well. They make games and educational programs. And they invited us to help first to help develop a few prototypes for a transmedial game that extended this soap series called Sedafi. And the soap series is about a health clinic in which all kind of, cultural and stories take place about motherhood, family planning, health issues, but also violence against women. So all kinds of topics that they want the Senegal public to talk about.
So can you tell me a bit about the sort of media setup in Senegal? Like how are people watching this sort of soap series?
Well, basically everybody has access to a form of television. It can be that in maybe a neighborhood cafe or something where they have the public channels, but there is also a group of audience that has access to like Canal Plus extra channels, and that's actually funny because at first we were sure we were going to go on public television in Senegal. And then it turned out to be Canal Plus, and that really changed how we would have to run the experience, because if it's only on public television, then the entire experience had to run on mobile phones, so not smartphones, but mobile phones. While if it's on Canal Plus, you can also be sure that everybody also has access to a smartphone with internet, and Facebook is free there. So that totally changes the plan, how to run your game, actually.
So, I mean, is Canal Plus a subscription channel over there?
Yeah, it's Canal Plus Afrique.
Yeah.
And so actually now, it has changed a couple of times after this. So now, first Canal Plus is showing the television series, but without the game. And then after that, a local broadcaster is gonna show it to everyone. So that's for free. And then also it's going to go to other French-language African countries. So that's also very, you know, it's already hard enough to see what the target audience in Senegal is for us. But now it's going to go and spread out to even more of Africa. So we sure hope that the audience is, you know, a bit of the same for this experience that we have created.
Yeah, very good. And so how does it break down in terms of, like, access to technology? Because you mentioned that some people might watch it on a shared TV. I mean, how sort of abundant are smartphones among the Canal Plus population?
Among the Canal Plus population, I guess it's pretty broad, pretty common, because it is a subscription channel. You have to be more rich or
a bit more wealthy than the
And so a lot of youth in the big cities. So, for example, in Dakar, the capital of Senegal, they have smartphones as well, and mostly they use local Wi-Fi spots to use internet, and a lot of mobile. What Rosa already said, a lot of mobile providers give free access to Facebook, which is kind of a live version of Facebook.
So you mean free in that they don't take up any of their data plan?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
So you don't even have to have a data plan.
Right, got it.
Yeah.
And so we said it was like an edutainment type. So where's the balance there? Is it like 80% entertainment and 20% education, or the other way around? How popular is it?
Well, it's in its first season, so we don't know how popular it will be, but it is developed by a pretty, for that area, pretty big companies or production companies. It's pretty professional and high production value for that area. So we hope and we expect it to be pretty well known around there.
Got it.
And about the entertainment aspect, yeah, I guess we've seen a few episodes which are in French, so we don't know anything about it, or don't understand everything. But of course we know the synopsis of the soap, and I guess it is just as any normal other soap, that it deals with issues which are current or happening in society. So I guess it's just a lot of drama, stuff happening, people gossiping about each other, relationships breaking, developing, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think what they're doing really well is that, yes, of course it's about educational topics, but it doesn't, when you're watching it, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is the fun part and this is the learning part. It's very much integrated into the drama and in the relationships, and it's just that the problems that they discuss are all very relevant to the culture at the moment.
And it's actually modeled after a soap opera model, which is used in Latin America a lot, which has been proven very successful over there, where they have a few different types of characters. They have the transitional characters who transition or develop themselves and learn through the season, through different seasons. So they're more of the main characters, mm-hmm. And then you have kind of more fixed or flat characters who are either kind of evil or kind of good. So yeah, and they kind of try to influence these main transitional characters. But that's kind of the way that they try to let people think about it for themselves and make their own conclusions about what to do in certain situations.
Good. So how did you approach this project? What sort of brief were you given? How did you get into this?
Oh, that's a long time ago. What sort of brief were we given? Well, what we were told is that the main goal or the main theme that the game was going to evolve around was violence against women, so equality, gender equality, basically. Mm-hmm. And that our target audience were the young viewers of the soap opera. The soap opera is viewed by a very, very varied group. So very young people, but also old people watch it. And this would be targeted at the young people, like high school kids, basically. So that's what we started out with. So how are we going to attract these kids, basically, or young adults? How can we make something that, well, uses their media and that uses their habits and rituals that they do every day? How can we incorporate those into a game that they really want to play, while actually putting all these topics, these relevant topics, up for discussion?
And what did that final solution look like then? So what was it that you did?
Right. Well, we had three concepts, but the one we worked out at the end is basically an extension of the soap opera. So it actually has quite a lot to do with what sort of has the same basic layout as the project. So there are two characters in the TV series on television, and they actually have an extended life in the online world. And then they have lots of added characters that are not actually in the TV series, but are their friends online. So basically all the high school kids have their own platform on Facebook, and that is where we get extra videos and extra photos and little mini games. And it's set up in three phases. There is an easy, an intermediate, and a hard mode. And the easy is for everyone, usually just a factual question about what happened in the series. The medium is always contributing to a discussion. So, for instance, if something happens to a character that gets in a fight, we always ask you from a sort of bystander's perspective, what would you have done if you were the friend of the person who has this problem right now? What would you say? And you would have to contribute to the discussion. And the third one is always more interactive, or more active is what I mean. So you will have to go out and do something, or you'll have to contribute artwork, or you'll have to, you know, really contribute something to the game. The level of engagement is actually very clear, divided in three levels of interaction.
That's really...
Yeah, so basically what you do is you unlock more and more story of the entire story world while playing and discussing and contributing to the story world.
Yeah, and this is all done through a Facebook app. Or it's going to be a standalone website, I'm not sure yet. But at least you log in through your Facebook, and it's really connected and spread and promoted through Facebook. And then you join in, you get points for questions you answer, which eventually will lead to prizes as well. And it's we try to keep it as simple as possible. We're both really great, huge fans of alternate reality games. So we started out with huge plans about people or about characters renting a van and traveling through all of Senegal, and then people having to track them down and meeting them in public and stuff, with a lot of live events. But it turned out to be... basically way too complicated for the production team is there as well. We ended up with...
Lucid, but also the concept of having characters in real life, with real life events where they would be there as actors, it was a bit too much to start out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the first season, isn't it?
Maybe yeah,
it
is. Right. Yeah. So this is basically more of a quiz type experience.
Is it synced very closely with like the shows when they air, or is this evergreen content? It is, okay.
Yeah, it's 100%. But what we try to do is we try to not infiltrate too much with the characters that are developing on TV, because you know we know that there are going to be lots of people who watch the TV series without playing the game. So we can't force you to know everything that's happening online. But the thing is, you can always the story does develop right next to the story on television, but it is always possible to start with the game later on. If the show has continued, you can still do all the missions from earlier on if you want to.
Yeah, so the online content, the extra images or story or videos you see, takes place during the episodes, or no, between the episodes.
Yeah.
So you see a party going on in episode one, and then you, on TV, then you experience what happens after, and then the story continues on TV again. So it's very much in sync, yeah.
So were you allowed access to the scripts before you started designing, or?
Sort of. At first we knew the concept, and that's when we started creating the prototypes. Then when there was made a choice for one of the concepts, we got the basic storyline. So that was basically just three lines about what would happen in each episode.
Right.
And that's when we started to create the whole wireframe of things that should happen, assignments that should be done, and as we created, we kept getting more of the full episode script. To get more detailed into the character developments and stuff.
Yeah, and about the scripts, we really pleaded for a great extra storyline for the game. We thought that would be the most important motivation for people to play, if they actually got extra story content, but not just mini games, or not just extra stuff or activities to do, but actually more story. So that's basically our strongest point we made to our clients, which they passed along to Senegal, and there they actually hired extra writers, an extra writers team of young writers, to work solely on the story for this game.
And that's fantastic.
They worked together with there were a few writers from the original Soap series in that team as well, so that the tone of voice would actually be the same, and that the type of story would be the same, and it would really fit the culture as well. We thought, okay, we're not writers ourselves, and we want a story that fits the youth culture there and the environment and stuff.
Right.
We let them create extra scenes and create those extra characters, and then they gave it back to us, and then we started to develop the assignments for it and the gameplay parts.
So how might that, let's say the writer comes up with this story that is predominantly only online, even though it's got hooks into the TV show, how does that story reveal itself through the Facebook app?
We have, for example, you answer a question about something that happened in the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So in the easy level, that will be just a factual question, like, okay, what color of shirt did someone have, or what did someone say? And then you answer that, and you get get a reward in the form of, for example, a diary video of one of the characters.
Right.
But they're also just full-blown, full scenes of video, which are edited and shot on location, in which you see the characters and you just have an extra scene. But there are also content in the form of photos to make it not as production heavy.
Right.
For example, screenshot photos of text conversations.
Also tiny interactive mini games where you can take control of the cell phone of one of the characters. Other types of tiny mini games.
So explain that to me, Rose. How would I take control of the character's cell phone? That sounds good.
Yeah, well, it's actually the most basic form of a simulation of the cell phone of one of the characters. So, for instance, you see a picture of one of our characters texting to another character, and you, as an audience, you get to see the screen of this cell phone in which you see what that character has typed, and then you basically just get a multiple choice option for what how you would like to respond to what he said to reach a certain goal. So try to get the character to tell him your to tell you his secret, for instance. How would you go along trying to get that from someone, or how would you address this person if you want to talk about this fight that has just happened? What do you want to tell him? So you just have a few options and a few endings. So you can also replay it to see how the story would have developed if you would have made other choices. So very, very basic mini game like that.
That's very cool. And so how closely did you work with the writers? Once you said, I mean, how did you give them certain you know, like sort of place marks that they had to hit with their story so that you could develop the game in a certain way? Or did you wait for the online stuff to all come back and then you sort of built around that?
We went both ways, but we had some things that... we had a basic storyline, like, okay, so there are these characters, those were given to us by them, and we would know what the global storyline was and what the themes were, and we would say, okay, if we want our audience to do a certain assignment in the 7th episode, then something really dramatic like this, and we would think of a situation that we would find appropriate, and we would tell the writing team, we need a situation like this. Does that work for you and your culture and your age group? Or do you want to make it something else? And then we will work with that, but we need dramatic change number 8. Right here.
That's really good. Yeah, really good.
And our client actually did a few workshops and meetings over there. So they went on our behalf as well to Senegal to talk with the target group, with the writers, with the producers, and to meet with them, and also to test out our story and see how the target group reacted on it. And a lot of stuff about the story and about which characters would be our main characters was decided during those meetings. So we weren't really a part of that. And then they would come back one day. They came back with a whole different kind of story or a whole different kind of setup than we worked on for a few weeks before. So that's something that we really had to get used to adapt to stuff changing and people, a lot of people deciding other things than what we were planning on.
Well, I imagine that the feeling is that the, you know, like the TV show takes sort of the primary place, so everything else is secondary.
Yeah, we were involved from the start, so even before filming and while the scripts were still in development. So we thought, oh great, this is our opportunity to place these great hints.
We can finally do it. We can make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were, right after our graduation, we were given the holy grail of transmedia producers where everyone was very interested and everyone would adapt to what we came up with and it would be like all integrated with each other. So we planned, like, okay, we're going with this storyline, and we wanted to place hints in the series itself. We even were told that maybe they could write in an extra scene for us, so that you have the story arc online, which would end up in an extra scene on the TV series, which would tie in with the TV series storyline and stuff. We came up with all these great ideas, but in the end, then our client would go to Senegal and talk to them about that, or present the ideas, present the concepts, and none of it really got through. It's just, it would be very difficult for them to grasp the idea. I mean, those kinds of things are sometimes difficult to get across here in Europe, or maybe even in America.
And once they went there, they only had so little time, and it was usually during really busy production days that the production team over there was like, wait, we don't have this in our schedule right now. We can't just put it in an extra scene now. We very much got put in second place to the TV series. But I guess that's something that happened mostly because of working on many different continents very far away from each other at the same project.
I think it's just the nature of TV, actually. I still have hope, Robert. we all have hope, Rosa. But I think, this was the first time that the production company had looked into something like this. And I think now you've demonstrated what it could be. I imagine they're going to be much more open, hope, fingers crossed, with a second season, because they can see the engagement that they've got online.
True.
And the benefit of kind of doing this.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, I hope so too. And that's exactly what our client said as well. And they nowadays still call it the web series.
Okay.
So they don't really see it yet as something interactive or as a game. But at least they acknowledge our existence and kind of produce stuff for it and see it as a part of the whole project.
How did you manage the online content updating as it evolved, week to week?
It's all pre-programmed, basically. They're just it's being programmed right now, so I don't really know a lot about the technical aspects. But they put all the content in beforehand.
So it's all done, and then, like, on a date and time schedule, it'll just update.
Yeah.
And got it.
Yep.
Got it.
So that's really, really scary, actually, because we are used, when doing this project, these types of projects, we are used to adapting to how the players are interacting and being able to react and respond to how players are acting. And for this one, that's going to be near impossible to do. So we're just going to have to let it go and see what happens.
And what happened with things like community management? Because you mentioned there was like opportunity for discussions and so on.
There will be moderators, local moderators,
right,
for that.
Yeah, they'll probably be based in Senegal, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen before. That's, you've not already had the discussion aspect of it, or?
No, that's something that the players and the viewers of the series can contribute, basically, through comments, through polls. We direct them a lot towards discussions of the ethical nature about the stuff happening in the soaps.
And then, so what's the setup? You create a Facebook page for the series, and then this app is in like a tab off of that page. Would that be fair? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But there was a bit discussion. I don't know what really came out of it, but there was a bit of discussion about the technical aspect of that, because a lot of people access Facebook on their cell phones. And a lot of embedded Facebook apps, which are accessible through chats on pages, are not accessible on mobile. So then they have to go to a desktop to play. And we're not really sure how that plays out.
Yeah, okay.
So there's, I guess it's going to be more of a standalone website now. which links a lot to the Facebook page so that people get directed to it as well.
And what? So what? For the second season, do you? Is there an expectation that you guys are going to be, you know, working with the producers again for the next season?
Well, we hope so. Yeah. See, there has been no contract signed or anything, so I can't say much about it. I think it is very much going to lean on how the first season is going to, how it's going to be responded to. In our minds and in our clients' minds, as long as the TV series will be there, the online platform will also be there. But, you know, if it turns out that this is too much or nobody can find the online content or you know, if it's just too much right now, then I don't think it's going to have a future. But let's not think like that. I think we'll be there for the second season.
Yeah, totally. Were there any like sponsors that you had to involve as well? Or?
We didn't have to do any of that.
No, okay.
No. There were at the earlier stages. There were talks with Orange.
Yeah.
Which would be great. Because first it looked like we were going to make a game which was going to be played on normal cell phones as well through kind of text, interactive text.
Yeah.
So then Orange would be a great partner who, and they would provide the technology for that to run. But later on, I don't know, they didn't get through or... the plans changed.
There's always a lot of moving parts. You never know which ones are going to fall into place at the right time.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It has been a very dynamic project. Change of plans has come up often.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how long were you, like, how long is the season and how long were you guys working on it?
We've been working on it for 2 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, like Joel said, this was basically the first thing, the first assignment we ever got after graduating 2 years ago. and yeah, it's just been, the deadlines have been extended and the production time has been extended. But from what I've heard, the first episodes are actually airing, like, now on Canal Plus.
Okay.
And yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and within a few months, I believe in 2 months, the after this season is finished on Canal Plus, they'll start airing it on the local broadcasters.
Got it.
Our national television in yes. Senegal.
And it's 27 episodes, right?
I guess so, yeah. And they will be airing twice a week.
Yeah.
First, we thought it would be once a week, so... People now have a lot less time to play our game in between the episodes.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's interesting, yeah.
That's different.
So, yeah, I guess there will be like 10 or 12 weeks running for the first season.
If I miss a week, can I go back and play it? Or is it too late? The app's already been updated and there's...
No, you can always keep playing, and that's... obviously, lots of the events in the online storyline do connect with the TV series, but since it's mostly online, the storyline, you're still very much able to go back to last week or even a month ago, because we put in little bits of content on which we base our questions around. So you can always, that's what it was about, I remember now. Or little bits from the TV series, if it was something in that, have reminders to get you going again.
Very good, very good. So, what are you guys working on now? What's coming up next?
Lots of things. Didn't you speak to Sita very, very recent?
Yes.
Yes.
I did.
No, we're working together with him on a few projects. We're creating a card game for him.
Oh, okay, fantastic! Yeah.
So you probably have you played it?
No, you know, you realise we're entering into a private conversation now on like a public podcast. So no, maybe you should give a bit of background to the card game, because otherwise no one else will know who Sitzer is or what he's working
on. Yeah, so we're working together with Sitzer Schalk, who is a Dutch theater writer and director. And he created this whole fictional world about a country on the verge of revolution. And in this fictional world, the characters and inhabitants of this country play a card game called Kafka. And he wanted this card game to be real and to exist and to be playable by the audience of the plays. So these plays take place in this world, and then before or after or in between, you can play the card game itself and learn more about the story world.
Yeah, because it's basically a storytelling card game, but the stories are all set and captured within the game, so it really gives you an opportunity to learn more about this world of Lida.
Yeah, the characters and the locations and stuff like that. And right now it's being programmed as a computer game as well, so that you can play it online, and so that it can be used more of a promotional tool before the plays start.
I think it's going to be good.
We're also working on another great project, which will be in...
Are you going to talk about the fort? Are you going to talk about the fort?
Yeah. So that is going to be kind of an escape room. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So it's very physical, puzzle-based game for teams. But it's not going to be in just one room, but in a whole fort. I don't know. Is a fort an English word?
Yeah, okay. You mean like a castle type,
Yeah.
And not a castle, it's a fort,
Okay. And it's going to be a 2-hour long game in which you have to solve puzzles, solve riddles, work together, and it's about the four elements,
which
Earth, you have
to... Fire.
Yeah, exactly, which you have to balance. This fort is placed on the... what is it?
Waterline or something?
The center of four elements, and in this fort, the balance of all elements is controlled, and you have to restore this balance, otherwise natural or disasters will happen in the whole of Netherlands.
That's nice.
Yeah, and that's
all. That's fantastic.
And that's something with puzzles, with riddles, and it's a quite a big challenge as well, because we have to design this game so that it will reset itself. So normally escape rooms are a lot of you use a lot of objects and a lot of physical stuff, and you carry it around from A to B. And here we have to design it in such a way that basically, 20 minutes apart, new teams can start playing this game and go through this whole route through the fort without other people having to intervene or reset stuff or put it back in its original position.
Yeah. So reset ability is key.
Yeah. Yes.
And where's that going to be based? When's it go live?
It goes live in March 2016, and it's in Fort Vanerden, which is very near to the German border in Schelderland.
Okay, yeah. How did you... Right, brilliant. I want to know more about that, but we should bring you back. We should bring you back once you've got it up and running, and we can talk about the whole... We could have a new podcast all on the design for that.
Sure, yeah.
Because it sounds fantastic. I think these escape rooms have become very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And what you sound just seems like that, only better.
It is the next step, Robert.
It's fantastic. Good. It's good. I know some technology that might be able to help with that as well.
That sounds so good.
All right then, guys. Where can people find you online to connect with you?
We have a Facebook page. It's Bert and Trapsnap. So if you can put our names anywhere around the podcast, then it will be easy to find us. But Pech and Trapsnap. such international allure, these names.
And I'll put the URL as well, just in case, so that it's much easier. Guys, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.